So becoming a winner, and even winning when you're losing, that makes you a winner. I guess a great, in my opinion, and tonight's all about my opinion, because everyone sees the world through different glasses or different goggles. But unfortunately, in my opinion, a lot of people see the world through other people's goggles. So they live their life, and their opinions and their views are very much defined by others. I think the great Einstein once beautifully said, you know, imagination is so much more important than education, because many times education can be very defining. It means you sit in the box of education and you tend to not look outside that box, where education is many times limiting because you know it, therefore you don't explore it anymore, versus imagination is limitless. There is no end to it. So a lot of people, many times their lives are defined by others or other people's expectations. And I guess that's why I asked you those questions before we even started on your definition of winning or being a winner, to get a sense whether that's your definition or you're just borrowing someone else's definition, or you're being affected by other people's views or other people's education or other people's personal development or whatever it might be. And then who you see was an example of a winner, and whether that's you go to someone who's iconically known as a winner, and do you really know them? Have you really studied them? Have you really read all their books, watched all their documentaries, really investigated? Or you're just taking a superficial face value of their reputation and defining that person as a winner and attaching to that a series of quotes that define that person according to others. So tonight's more about not others or other people's views. Tonight is more trying to get you to think more deeply and define your own view of what a winner is, and according to you rather than according to others. I always remember a great experience I had in my early 30s, and I was a bit of a late starter when it comes to the area of personal or professional development. I didn't get exposed to motivational speakers and personal development speakers and professional development until my early 30s. I had been given a little tiny bit of exposure in my late 20s. But my early 30s, I came across a guy called Jim Rohn on a tape, when we used to have tapes. And I listened to that series, and a whole new world opened up and things started to click into place. But that's not to say that in my early 30s, I wasn't already classified as being successful according to others or myself. You know, I was been working for myself, you know, for a good, you know, well over a decade at that stage, running my own business, doing what I want to do, with whom I want to do it, and how I want to do it, living the life I want to live, and didn't give a flying rat's ass what other people thought. And that was one of my early quotes that I used to use when I was very young. Who gives a rat's ass? I mean, I'm going to do what I want to do. That makes me happy. And if you don't like it, then you can go and take a hike. In a nice way. But I got exposed to personal development and started to do lots and lots of reading and lots of learning and lots of reading and lots of learning, and read heaps of books and listened to lots of audios and tapes. And don't get me wrong, it was absolutely fantastic, and I had a huge growth in learning in that stage in my life. And I guess it was until my mid-30s that a number of things happened in my life, and I addressed those things by starting to say or making statements or approaching those things according to how or what I had learned. And the exact example was I was looking at Rory is looking at buying a new car, a Mercedes, and that was brought up to the surface. And I said, well, you know how much money you lose as soon as you drive out of the car yard with a new car. And she looked at me with a real odd look. And that was a very, I guess, a change in mindset. Because the reason why I said that was because I'd read so many books on wealth creation written by financial planners who, from a logical point of view, using their brain, that buying a new car didn't make any logical sense. Because as soon as you bought it, it depreciated as soon as you drove it off the sales lot. So why did I say that? Why I said that, not because that's what I believe, but that was, I guess, defined by the books I'd been reading. And sometimes you can start to lose your view of the world and who you are based on other people, whether it be that be deliberate from you because you're reading lots of personal development, as I was, or not deliberate because you've just been affected by your circle of influence. And at that particular time, some other things happened in my life, and I thought, well, that's not really who I am. Like, why would I limit myself or have my choices defined by others? And I asked this question, and if that was such a bad idea to buy a brand new car, because it depreciated as soon as you drove it off the car lot, then why do all the wealthy people of the world always buy new cars? Well, they're not buying it because it's a logical decision. They're buying it a new car because it adds emotional value to their life. I guess that was a bit of a turning point where I thought, well, okay, stop living my life as being defined by others, and start living my life as defined by me and what I see as winning. So I guess tonight's about you working out how do you to have a winning life according to you, not according to others. And that's very easy to do when you're trying to get somewhere and you're asking mentors or lecturers or teachers or people around you to help you to get you to where you want to be. So I guess the first lesson is winners don't lose themselves in other people's views or other people's definitions or other people's ways. A winner has this freedom where they see the world through their eyes and they live the life according to them. Rory asked me a beautiful question earlier on this evening about, you know, what's my definition of winner? And it wasn't any pre-frame or it was just came out. I said, you know, being a winner is someone who is that you're being where you want to be. You're doing what you want to do. You're achieving what you want to achieve. You have what you want to have. You're being with the person you want to be with or the people you want to be with, and you're living the life that you want to live. And irrespective of anyone else in the world, that is your world. Your world is lived by you 24/7 in your mind. You know, I'm in my man cave right now chatting to you, and I have to be happy in my world. And my world has been by myself in my man cave talking to you because I want to talk to you. If I didn't want to talk to you tonight, then I wouldn't talk to you tonight because that wouldn't make me happy and that wouldn't make me a winner. I guess the ultimate measurement of winning is that you're happy with every aspect of your life and you are in control of your thoughts in every aspect of your life. Now, you don't always have control of the things in your life or the control of the circumstances of actions, because there's many things can affect that, whether it be the weather or other people or coincidences, whatever it might be. But you're in complete control of where you want to be. And you can remove yourself or inject yourself. That's completely up to you. And you're completely in control in how you think about it. So, you know, if you look at the measurement of a winner, and this is something for you to think about as I ask these questions. Are you completely happy with your life? every aspect of your life. I'm not saying just some parts of it, but every aspect in terms of, you know, your career. Would you be doing anything else if you had the choice? And if the answer is no, then hey, you're a winner. If someone offered you $1 million to go and do something else, would you take it? Well, if the answer is yes, then you're a loser, because what you're doing right now is not what you really want to do, because you can be bought out of it. You can be bribed out of it. So are you doing what you really want to do and you can't be bought? You're not doing it for the money. You're just doing it because that's what you want to do. In terms of dollars, you know, do you have control of the amount of dollars that you want to earn doing what you love to do? Do you have control of that? And I'm not saying that you have to be rich, but when it comes to money, you have to be able to provide the finances to live the life you want to live, doing what you want to do, being with who you want to be, having what you want to have. So yeah, are you in control of your dollars, or is that controlled by somebody else? Are you in a position where your health and your physique and your performance and your, you know, every aspect that makes up you when you look in the mirror, and it's not just from a visual, but it's from an internal. Are you proud of your body and your health and your performance and where you are? Are you 100% happy with that? Would you exchange any of it? Someone says, hey, I can give you, you know, Tom Platz's legs. Would you take him? Well, you know, maybe then you're not really happy with who you are. Are you 100% happy with your relationship? You know, you wouldn't want to be with anyone else, no matter what. You could never be persuaded into an affair or a fling, or you're thinking about someone else. You are with the person and you're completely 100% committed, you know, in your relationship. And are you living the life according to the way you want to live it? Do you live in the house you want to live in, and you have the lifestyle you want to live, and you can have the meals that you want to have and travel to the places in the world that you want to? Now, not everyone's in the travel. If travel's not your thing, that's okay. But do you have that life, which is just the perfect life? And do you have all the things that you want that make up the life, or the materialistic things? And it doesn't mean you need materialistic things. Some people don't want materialistic things. That's okay. But they may, if their mission in life is to go and save the whales, then they still need the materialistic things to have a speedboat to go out there to stop the Japanese fishermen from killing the whales. You know what I mean? So they still have to have materialistic things to achieve their ultimate purpose. And do you live a life where you serve this higher purpose, where you what you feel is doing is really meaningful to you, and you're proud of it, and you're proud of who you are, and you're proud of what you stand for? So I guess, what is a winner? A winner is someone who is proud of who they are, and they're proud of what they do, and they're proud of where they are, and they're proud of who they're with, and they're proud of what they've achieved, and they're proud of the things that they have, and they're proud of the purpose that they serve, and they're continually growing to expand on all of those things to make themselves better, to live a greater life that creates greater happiness. Now, if you look at, okay, so rather than model yourself off other people, like, I was asked this great question many, many years ago, is that, do you have a mentor? You know, like, you hear that a lot in the professional development circles, a mentor. And look, I'm not a huge believer in mentors. I'm certainly a believer in learning from others. But I tend to try to want to learn from everyone, whether it be I take a bit from this and a bit from him and a bit from that, because ultimately it's my life, and my life can't be modeled off the whole life of someone else, because that's someone else's life. But certainly I will see what other people do and what they stand for, and that will create an example of, wow, you know, if they can do it, so can I. Or if they have the courage to do that, so can I. If they have the freedom to do that, so can I. But I don't want to be anybody else. I don't want what anyone else has. I don't want any part of anyone else's life, because I'm so proud of my life, and that's a good place to be. where you're just proud of who you are, what you stand for, irrespective of the measurable success. And success can be measured many ways, and you have to find out the way how you measure it. And it may not be measured by dollars, and it may not be measured by types of cars that you drive or places that you live or where you travel to or the clothes that you wear or the watches that you have. It should be, in my view, should be measured by really your happiness and your content of the things you're doing and what you're achieving, and most of all, what you're growing into. It's not what you get over time. It's who you are becoming. But it's not the case that I always say this when I come back from a holiday from Vegas, and why wouldn't you visit Vegas? You know, if that's meaningful to you. Some people want to go camping. I like to go camping. I like to go camping too, under the stars. But my stars seem to be the five stars of a 5-star hotel, and that's not right or wrong. That's just me. That's what makes me happy. You know, going out there and camping in a tent. Not my thing. I tried that when I was young. Didn't make me happy. If anything, I just couldn't wait to get home to have a shower. And that's not right or wrong. That's just what makes me happy. But, you know, when you always come back and people, you know, occasionally say, how's your holiday? And I says, well, if it wasn't my last holiday, I'd say it was your holiday of a lifetime. But every holiday of a lifetime, every holiday I have is a holiday of a lifetime, because I make it so. It's a winning holiday, no matter where I go, because I choose to be there, and I choose my attitude, and I choose my thoughts. So I guess, you know, being a winner is one thing. I guess there's two aspects of it. It's knowing that what you want, and how do you judge that, what you want? Sometimes people don't know. I think it's just how it makes you feel. If you don't know what you want, it's easy to work out what you don't want, because if you have what you don't want, it doesn't make you feel good. I used an early phase in my career when I knew when I left university, there's many things. There's things which I saw and I think, yeah, that's me. That's me. I saw Bruce Lee movies when I was 10. I said, yeah, that's me. That's my thing. And to this day, 53 years of age, and I'm still fighting. You know, that just makes me feel in one, or makes me feel alive. It makes me feel, and for some people it might be, as Jed said, it's Richie McGraw. That makes him feel alive being on the football field. So sometimes you expose yourself or explore things, and you may not know what you want, but you can soon work out what you don't want. I love music, completely adore music. I love listening to music. I go to concerts. I've already been to about 6 concerts this year. Got another two more to go to, plus any ones I discover. But even though I'd love to be able to play music or instruments, that when I was young, my mum put me on the piano and started teaching me the piano, and I'd rather go outside and play cricket or go and kick the bag and punch the bag. So being on there, I knew that wasn't for me, because it just didn't feel right. But when I got onto the punching bag and started kicking, that felt really right. So I guess sometimes when you get exposed to things, you know if it's wrong, even though someone else is telling you that it's right or you should do it. If you listen to your heart or your gut, it's probably a good compass. If you listen to your mind, then your mind can go through many logical reasons why you should do something which is maybe wrong for you. I remember when I left school, there's many things I could do, but the only thing that felt right was fitness and health. And even though there was no personal trainers or no careers in the fitness profession back in 1983, I just knew it was right. Even though there was no opportunity, there was nothing. There was no full-time jobs as gym instructors. Aerobics was driven by the Jane Fonda era. But I just knew that it was just right. And even though I didn't see any destinations or success or measurable success or jobs or careers, and all my friends at university took the other option. They studied human movement studies. I studied human movement studies because I knew I was going to do something with it. I had no idea what I was going to do with it, but I just felt right. But they started halfway through, they started thinking logically about it, and they all became PE teachers using their physical education type stuff. and end up going, being sent out to schools and as PE teachers and end up teaching history and geography and sociology because there's not enough lectures in PE. I just stayed true to my heart, my inner compass, and followed that. And then, you know, I always do. If you do what you love, then you find a way to make a living out of it. And that's how I've always been. And that's just my view anyway. So I guess a part of a winner is someone who follows their heart or their inner compass, or, you know, what people probably call now their values. Yeah, but I didn't know what values were back then. I had no formal education and personal development, professional development, values and morals and all sorts of stuff. I just listened to what felt right and also, you know, listened to what felt wrong. So over time, I always remember I got a job in a gym, and I got a full-time job eventually, and I was employed, and I was told what to do by the manager and all that bit, and it just didn't feel right being told what to do, being somewhere at a set time and doing something by someone else, and that didn't feel right. So I just knew then that was, I wasn't cut out to be an employee. I was cut out to work for myself because I wanted to do things my way, even though I didn't know which way that was. It just didn't feel right, even though there was money and security and safety and expectation. And other people were saying, my father was saying, this is a good job. You got security there at the lifestyle gym, at the casino, and they feed you. But it just didn't feel right. So rather than listening to my father, who, or my head or my brain or my logic, I said, no, this is not right. And it's not going to lead me to 100% happiness in all aspects of my life. So obviously that was a view that I had to leave and run my own business, even though I had no training, no idea, no clue, but I still followed it and worked it out. So I guess a winner is, I guess you can define, maybe a winner is doing what is right for them at the right time for the right reasons because they're the right person. But having no assurity or certainty if things are going to work out. But what I do know is if you do stay in the safe zone, in security and safety and certainty, and you're there for the wrong reasons, it doesn't tend to work out very well because now you're the right person in the wrong place, being told by the wrong person to do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, and nothing right comes out of that because nothing is in alignment. Everything is completely scattered. You got this right person and you're surrounded by all the wrong things for the wrong reasons, with the wrong people, with the wrong business, with the wrong mission, with the wrong purpose. That in itself is just leads to disaster. But it doesn't even lead to disaster. It is disaster. But you spend your time self-justifying what you're doing, because there's all these logical reasons that have been defined by other people for this is how you should live your life. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know about what happens after life. But what I do know is that, you know, you only live once and it's pretty short. And after that, I don't know what happens. So if you're going to be here for a short period of time, then you might as well just enjoy as much as you possibly can and not worried about safety and security and certainty, because there is none. At the end of it, you're going to be gone anyway, and it could be tomorrow and it could be in 50 years time, who knows? But the only moment you've got is the now, to live this magnificent life. And it's not measured by other people or things, it's measured by your direction, doing what you want to do, because that's right for you, because you're the right person, going in the right direction with the right people, achieving the right things, having, you know, acquiring the right things. And yeah, this that can only go right, even if you don't achieve the measurable success that you think, but your success is in the moment. It's not in the future. It's success and happiness and winning is in the moment. It's not at the end. Imagine it's not at the end. It can't be, because how can it be at the end? What, you're going to go through this pain and and discomfort and not liking it. And then you get at the end, says, yes, when I get $1 million, I'll be happy. Well, what happens between now and then? What if you don't get the mill? When I become successful, I'll be happy. Well, if you're happy, you are successful. The greatest part of being a winner isn't in the winning. It's just being the winner in the process. You know, the quote is winning doesn't make you a winner. Being a winner makes you win. A lot of people don't get that. And I've had many discussions with people who may not be ready for it. But winning doesn't make you a winner, because I've met lots of people who win, but they're miserable assholes, or they're never happy. You know, and if they lose, they chuck a hissy fit. I mean, I'm in sport, in martial arts, and the world level of martial arts and the world championships, and I see people win a world title, and they're still not happy. I come across millionaires, and they're not happy. I come across people who have beautiful cars, and they're not happy. I travel the world, and I don't come across many happy people. And even though they're rich, or they're world champions, or they have lots of things, or they've achieved great things according to others, but ultimately the measurement of being a winner is happy, being happy with who you are 24/7 in every microsecond of thought in your own mind, because success and life is lived in the ocean of your own thoughts. So whether I was sharing with Rowe, some of my greatest wins have been my losses in my sport. I use sport as my success. Some of my greatest wins have been my losses, meaning that I've fought at the world championships and I've lost the final, got the silver medal, but it's to this day, my silver medal from Ottawa in 2012 is my most proudest medal. Now, I lost the fight, but it was a great battle. It was like a warfare, and I tried my ass off, and the Argentinian Jose had changed his, and we became good friends after that, and we've competed many times since. But that was, people say, but you didn't win. It says, yes, I did. I did win, because I put in a winning effort, not just on the day, but in the 12 months of training up to that day, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be on the world stage. I wanted to be on the mat. I wanted to, you know, get that rush of satisfaction from every training session, which was another step towards achieving a goal. I always remember in our early years, I was training for the Commonwealth Kickboxing Championships, and it was about, you know, I was starting to taper down, getting ready to the peak for this championship. And I remember I was walking through the car park, and you know, I was in this, my body was in this peak condition, and I'm just, and the adrenaline was going, and the bit of nerves is coming, and I'm getting into a full contact ring with a legend of fighting, and I was just going, this doesn't get any better than this. And that was a week out, and most people would be nervous, but I was excited, because wow, this is life. This is turning every cell of my body on. I'm lighting up, because I wasn't fighting. Now I end up losing the fight, but wow, what a great 6 months of preparation and training. And again, to lose to a guy who went on to win 3 world kickboxing titles and become respected friends after that, and a good guy with good morals and good values and someone I respect, was a great experience, even if I didn't get the belt or the gold medal. Now, not to say I haven't won other gold medals, but they are secondary to the silver, or secondary to that experience of those experiences. So I guess winning is creating those experiences that you're really proud of, whether you win or lose or become a millionaire or not. And I've had 15 businesses and over that time, and some have been really successful. And the funny thing is, the most successful of my business from a measurement of financial success was probably the business that I was least proud of. Yes, I made a bucket load of money, but to become that successful financially, I had to dilute the quality of what I wanted to deliver to the marketplace. So yes, I was financially making millions and millions, but when I first started out as a fitness professional, the product that I was delivering to the market was, in my view, according to my stands, it was still the best product in the market in the country, but don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I knew it wasn't as good as I could it could be. So even though now Max, you know, is a different business to my other businesses, but it's something which I'm very proud of, the quality of what we deliver, even though my previous businesses has made me far more money, but hasn't given me far more satisfaction. Now I'm really proud of it, because there's every part of it, which there's not a moment in my life or a part of my life that I'm not proud of, because I choose that to be. So a winner is someone who takes action that doesn't compromise on things that are important to him, whether it be measured that by values or things or morals or integrity. That's up to you. That's just all just, you know, that's just names. But, you know, ultimately, you really have to be proud of where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, what you stand for, the things you have, and most importantly, how you live your life, not just some of your life. You can't have one part of your life really successful to make up for another part of your life that is not successful. You know, I'm really financially successful, but I have a shit relationship. Or I have a great relationship, but I'm doing a job that I absolutely hate. One will eventually cross-contaminate the other, or at least appreciate the other to a level where you never experience that peak of success or winning. Because all of parts of your life are in completely, everything's a winning, everything's a gold medal. I always teach, even if you're not achieving those measurable goals, you're striving to by becoming the person that achieves that. You may not get to the top, but you're going to get far higher than you ever could possibly be by not being that person. You know, Some of my students, my Taekwondo students, coming up for a regional championship this weekend. And I was saying to one of them just the other night, I said, you know, look, this is my advice for what it's worth, is don't attach your happiness to whether you win or lose. Because there's too many variables that will determine whether you win or lose. Number one, it could be the judges, because it is a bit more of a subjective sport. The judges may not like what you do. Number two, the other person just might be better. Number three, you may not be on your best that day for whatever reason. So my view is just to enjoy the day, get on that mat, and deliver your best. Now, between now and then, so we only got a week to clean this up, and there's a certain drill I gave him to do. And he says, if you do this drill, and I'm going to give you a measurable market, is if you do this 20 times a day, this particular drill, and it's quite a significant drill. It takes probably 4 minutes to do. So straight away, you're looking at 4 by 20. There's 80 minutes of training, right? Then you're going to minimize your chances of stuffing up in the day. And if you stuff up in the day, it's not because you didn't have the discipline to do what was required to be ready. But if you don't do the preparation, you don't do the discipline training, and you come up in the day and you stuff up, then you got nothing to blame but yourself. So if you lose, then you're a loser. But even if you win, you're a loser because you weren't your best anyway. I've won, you know, things in the past that I didn't put a huge effort in. That's not to me winning. I end up winning, but they didn't see my best. I always approach my business or the things I do is winning is when you do everything you possibly can to be the best prepared that you can possibly be for anything that is important in your life. Whether that be the best partner or the best performer in sport or... And when you do that, you're going to be proud whether you win or lose, because you say, well, I learned this from... Wayne Pearce is one of the legend rugby league players, you know, being selected as one of the greatest 100 players in the history of rugby league in all time. Captain Australia in rugby league. He was the coach. He was a captain of the New South Wales State of Origin when they used to win. He coached the New South Wales team when they used to win. And he says, you know, this great quote is that when you leave your heart on the field. You know, if you left your heart in the field, it means you played your absolute guts out. Whether you win or lose, at least you know you left your heart in the field. If you leave your heart in the assignment or leave your heart in the training, or leave the heart in the qualification. You leave your heart in your business. You leave your heart in your relationship. You leave your heart in your kids. If you put every cell into the things that are important to you, and everyone's in, would agree that, what you do as a career is important, because that takes up half your life, and your relationship's important, and your health is important, and your finances are important, and your lifestyle is important, and the things, the materialistic things in your life, they're important, that all link in together. Therefore, if you put everything into it, it takes the same amount of time to put everything into it than it does not to put everything into it. You know, I've got a world championships coming up in 2.5 weeks' time, and I think Rory said something earlier tonight. He says, I don't think your students realize how much you train in the garage late at night. And says, well, that's not for them to know. But what I do know is that irrespective of the result, I know I've put everything I possibly can into my preparation and training through discipline, effort and training to maximize my chances of success to give a gold medal performance. And as I share with my students in the competition, your goal is not to win. Your goal is to provide a winning performance. Because you can't control whether you win or not, but you can control whether you give a winning performance that makes you a winner, whether you win or lose, because you've left your heart on the mat. You've did everything you can to achieve what you want to achieve, because you've put your whole heart and soul into it. And to do anything less than that means you're a loser. Because even if you win the gold medal, you still lose, because you weren't at your best. And to me, it's being at your best. And if you're going to be in this life and live this life, then why not live it to the best of your ability? Whether you believe in God or not, that God's given you a gift, or nature's given you a gift, and that's there too. You know, as the great Jim Rohn says, how high does a tree grow? It grows as high as it possibly can. Well, humans don't do that. They don't tend to be the best they possibly be. They tend to settle. Or they tend to accept average. Or they tend to settle the average of their own laziness, or the average of the people around them. Or they conform. Or they get led by others. Now, when you live that way in terms of being average, then you're going to be losing. But if you live the other way, according to your own expectations and measurement by your own measuring sticks, then you're going to stand out from everyone. And you find that you won't be in the norm, but that's okay. You'll probably be very much alone, but you will never be lonely. If you don't want to be alone, just hang out with the average. You're never alone, but you'd be lonely, because you know you could be better and you're surrounded by averageness. Winners don't accept average, and the winners expect high things, and they don't associate with things that are contradictory to what they feel is right. If I'm training and people want to go drinking the weekend, or they go out and get pissed, well, that's fine if you want to do that, but that's not me. That's not who I am. That's not what I stand for. That's not how I measure my success, or how much alcohol I can drink in a night, and how much time I can waste, and how little I can do. That's not my measurement stick, because I know who I am. And for you, it's to really know who you are and set your measurement sticks and your expectations, and then try to associate with those people who have those similar expectations, whether they're face-to-face mentors or just iconic mentors like Muhammad Ali or whoever it might be. But make sure that, you take the good bits out of that, because no one's going to be holistic in terms of, I read the book about Mike Tyson, he's one of the greatest boxers, but his morals and ethics and how he conducts himself is not in line with how I, so he's not one of my role models. I respect him as a fighter, as one of the greatest fighters, but I certainly don't use him as a role model, because based on the book which he wrote, his autobiography, then that's not in line with how I want to live my life, irrespective that he's got the results, but how he got those results don't match into how I want to get results, because I want to get the results I want, living the life I want to live, being the person I want to be, serving the values I want to serve, following the moral compass I want to follow, irrespective of what other people think, because what other people think of me has, I have actually, I don't give a rat's ass what they think. The only person who you should be concerned of who thinks of you is how you, what you think of you based on what you've got, who you become, what you've done, and have you lived up to your own expectations of what you know you could do, and are you doing that? And if you're not, then you're losing, because you're not winning according to your potential. I guess that's a probably a good way to wrap it, is winning is that you're doing everything to live up to your potential in every aspect of your life. Losing is if you're not living up to that potential, irrespective of the reason, whether that be a poor circle of influence, whether that because, hey, the money's too good over here and have this shit job I like, or because better the devil you know than the devil you don't in a relationship. Well, that's one way to live, but you're falling very short of yourself, which in my mind makes you a loser. And there's going to be many times in your journey that the you'll be tempted to become a loser, because it's an easier path. It's not the better path. And when you come across to that crossroad in that decisions, and winners make winning decisions, losers make losing decisions. And everything you do in life is a decision. What time you're going to get up, what you're going to do when you get up, what you're going to read, what you're going to eat, what you're going to train at, who you're going to hang out with, your list of priorities. So the way I look at it is there's only really two ways to approach life, in my view anyway, is that everything you do, everything you think, everything in your life will either build your character into a winning character or deteriorate your character into a losing character. And everything's connected, irrespective, you know, everything affects everything. You know, how you live your personal life affects your business life, and your business life affects your health life, and your health life affects your wealth life. I believe if you get them all working together, then you're going to create a huge momentum. But as soon as one drags in the other, and you try to make up for one to make up for another one where you're falling short, then that becomes unbalanced, if there's such a thing. So when you go through your journey in life, I always think, is what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm reading, how am I behaving, how I'm reacting, how am I responding, how am I conducting myself, how I'm dressing, is this building my character into a winning character, or is this deteriorating my character into a losing character? And when the next question you ask after that is, what would a winner do? What would a winner do? And however you measure that winner, what would be a loving, thoughtful, caring partner do to their partner in this situation? Or what would a winning athlete do right now? Even though I don't feel like training and I have every reason not to train, what would a winner do? There might be times where you don't do because you're injured, then a winner would actually recover the injury. But am I not training because I'm tired? Am I not training because I'm lazing? Well, that's losing. So what would a winner do? And you may even, if you might be motivated by pain, you may say, well, what would a loser do? Well, that's what a loser would do, so best I not do that. So I guess to finish off is that it's your life, you know, and you can decide. A winning life, in my view, is living a life according to you, being who you want to be, doing what you want to do, you know, achieving what you want to achieve, having what you want to achieve, being with the person and the people you want to be with, living the life you want to live, irrespective of what other people think. And the beautiful thing is that you can live that life, because we all live in this magnificent country called New Zealand, where it's a democratic country and a capitalistic country, and we can achieve all of that within the bounds of the law. And also understanding is that, you know, you also want to make sure that you achieve and live that life following your moral compass. Because sometimes things are moralistically wrong, but legally right. So you want to make sure that, yes, they're legal, but also you want to make sure they're moral. Because sometimes the two that aren't always in sync. You can become very wealthy by legally ripping other people off. That's not one way that serves your moral compass and your integrity according to your values. So it's your life. You can live it any way you want. As long as you're living it your way, there's absolutely zero regrets, zero holes, zero feelings of emptiness or not being fulfilled in every aspect of your life. And what I do know is you can fulfill every aspect of life because you have a choice. You can do whatever you want. And that's completely up to you. And what you do will either determine whether you become a winner, irrespective of how you measure that, or you become a loser. And if you become a winner, I always say, I'll finish off with my students in martial arts, as if that, if you become a winner, where you think like a winner, you behave like a winner, you dress like a winner, present like a winner, conduct yourself like a winner, communicate like a winner to yourself and others, you train like a winner, you have a discipline of a winner, you compete like a winner, whether it be in life, business, relationships, whatever it might be, and you win like a winner, and most importantly, you lose like a winner, then you can only win. And that's going to be a magical life that no one can take away. And when you do, if you train enough and you become good enough and you compete enough, you will win enough. And you become a winner, which is 24/7. And in that journey, you will accumulate lots of materialistic awards or qualifications or trophies or achievements or experiences. And the beautiful thing is when you do that and you achieve those things, whether they work out or not, no one can ever take them away from you. You've got them forever because you participated in life, because in the way you want to participate, being a winner, doing winning things, therefore you will always end up a winner. Now there are other people who don't do that and they somehow win things, but that doesn't make them a winner, because being a winner is that you're not just happy when you win the gold medal standing on the podium, but you're a winner 24/7 because you have those thoughts and emotions that you're living 24/7. And really, that's where your life is lived. It's lived in the ocean of your own thoughts that trigger the emotions. And that's your choice. And to finish off, there's only one thing in this world that you can control. The only thing you can control is your thoughts that affect your emotions. And that's completely up to you. Of what